I can be messy now and again, but I am never a slob.
The only punches I throw are punchlines.
It's the delivery for me.
Always.
It's the delivery. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. We're recording this at, I swear to God, on a Bible, a Torah, a Quran. We are recording this at 6:30 in the morning, Eastern Standard Time. It is also 10:11, I should say, but it's really 5:45. Are you not exhausted?
Oh, I don't do mornings. I just don't. I never have. Even when I did mornings, I wasn't there. You saw my vessel, but there was none of me there yet. But at least it's double digits now, which to me is a win, but yeah.
Oh my God. Do you remember turning 10? That was like the biggest deal in the world.
I do. I have such a clear memory of sitting on the bumper of my dad's car and being like, I don't feel 10. And every birthday I turn, I'm like, I don't feel like whatever age it is.
I remember my grandparents came over. We were going to open some gifts. The double digit, I was like, you better fucking get me Molly.
Bring it.
From the American Girl store. And I remember I threatened my mother. I think it was in the dining room. I was like, listen, bitch, if I don't have
held a knife
doll,
up.
I swear to God, I was like, if I don't get that goddamn doll in like 50 minutes.
It's your Joker origin story if you don't get that doll.
It was. Meanwhile, like literally, what could she have done if she had not gotten it? And so I started opening the gifts, and I don't think that they were smart enough to do this to fuck with me. But like the first gift I opened was like a bed for a doll. And I thought to myself,
they're building it up. They're fluffing it up.
No, I thought to myself, I didn't even think that like it's leading to the doll. I thought if they just got me the bed, I'm going to be so pissed. And then I did get Molly, and I unfortunately sold her to my aunt who wanted her for my cousin when I was a teenager. And I've regretted that ever since. And they lost Molly. They lost my Molly doll, which was technically not mine because they gave me $40. Man. But I miss her. I miss her every day. Every day.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's a shame. Well, you know what? It's the times you had together.
Amen. Did you have an American Girl?
I didn't F with dolls, period. I was one of them. I know. They scared me a little bit, Sarah. They're just staring at me with those blank eyes.
Okay, so it wasn't like we are 7 years old saying these are unrealistic body expectations. It's that they look like they were going to kill us in the night.
Well, I think it's a combination of both. Because I remember seeing Barbies at my, you know, friends' houses and stuff. And I'd be like, who dis? Like, what do we... Yeah. But I don't know. Because my mother, like none of us, we don't look like that. Like nobody looks like that. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. It was just, I didn't feel a connection with it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, she's got a lot of crap. I don't want all that crap with clothes everywhere, little shoes everywhere, all that stuff. And I was like, I got a hard enough time keeping myself together. So I had My Little Ponies. That was my big thing.
Oh, I remember My Little Ponies.
And Care Bears. I loved Care Bears and My Little Ponies. And I still do.
I loved that dog that came pregnant and you got to open up her belly.
What?
Do you remember that? It was a stuffed animal dog. You got to open up her belly and there were either 4, 5, or 6 baby mini stuffed animal dogs. But like, God forbid you got 4 when you could have gotten 6. Like that was a big deal. I remember playing fetch with my neighborhood pal, Michelle. Shout out, Michelle. We would play, not fetch because we're not, in fact, ourself puppies, but we would play catch in the garden of my house and with Barbie dolls and then kept losing their heads. So somewhere in Pawtucket, Rhode Island are just a lot of head Barbie dolls just looking for the rest of their home, looking for their neck, looking for their shoulders, never to be seen again.
What an adventure, though.
What an adventure. What a life. Listen, you guys, it's Andy's Girls. So excited to be joined by return guest. You know her. You love her. Content creator, host of the podcast High and Low. Someone with a couple thoughts on New Jersey. Welcome back to AG. Bravo, bravo, ducking bravo. BBDB, you are such a light. I'm so happy to have you. Thank you for my wake up call.
Back at you. And I am excited to, you know, dive into the Jersey tussle with you.
Well, first off, before we head on over to Franklin Lakes, we need to take a little stop at Million Dollar Listing because on my Kenya is Leaving au revoir party episode, I mentioned a plot point on Million Dollar Listing because I was thinking, Kenya, the nude pictures, the, you know.
Yeah, I talked about that on mine, too, when I talked about Kenya, because people online were saying, well, when Ryan did blah, blah, nothing happened to him. And I was like, let's go and look exactly what Ryan did. And when did that happen and what happened?
This is why you are an investigative reporter and I am a sassafras, because my memory apparently was not accurate. I thought that Ryan Serhant on that episode of Million Dollar Listing forever ago had actually shown an adult video that Frederick had previously participated in. And I heard back from a couple AGs. So I do want to share this DM because we normalize changing our minds based on new information.
Always. I love being wrong. Tell me I got something wrong. I love it.
I also love it. So here is the message. Just kidding. Okay, here's the message. I just heard the latest pod about Kenya, and I'm going to insert in, loved it. Continuing. writing in specifically about the example involving Frederick and Ryan on Million Dollar Listing. Ryan did not play Freddy's porn. He played a cartoon like Woody Woodpecker, but of lesser licensing value. Ryan did, however, name the party Real Estate Porn Open, have models for the adult-themed party, make comments beforehand about Frederick doing gay porn. He made a drawn-out speech and built a vibe causing many at the Brokers Open, including Frederick, to think he was going to play it. Correct. Then Ryan played the silly cartoon. Frederick was relieved but walked out embarrassed anyway. Ryan, at the end, had a sinister laugh and said, yep, he's not crazy. He would never play it. He just wanted to send Frederick a message to stop messing with him because he could get revenge so much worse. So I did want to clarify, it was not, in fact, shown. He just obviously used it repeatedly to the knowledge of its existence repeatedly to try to scare and fuck with Frederick Eklund.
Just the psychological torture of it, yeah.
Right? What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts?
So I went back and I saw a Bravo TV blog about it. And the way that they are so just silly and glib about the issue just really puts you into the mindset of what life was like. And I think 2012, 2013, is that when that aired? And it was just wild. It was wild to see. And according to the Bravo TV blog on it, it said that, you know, he had knowledge of the tape, the whatever it was that, you know, Frederick was in. He did not show the sex act. And that's what I made clear in my pod. He did not show the sex act. He showed a G-rated clip. And so I, not having gone back and watched the episode over again, because I hated it the first time. I remember hating, I'm not going to go back and watch it again. But I mean, maybe I should have, because I thought that he played a G-rated clip from the softcore porn, like of somebody just like walking down the street smiling or something. And that was enough to just scare Frederick and be like, he actually has the tape. I didn't know that it was a cartoon, or I'd forgotten that, because I think the entire episode, they're building it up. And even as a viewer, you're like preparing yourself for what are we about to, you know, see or even hear people seeing. And I remember just the stress of that episode. It's an unforgettable episode. I don't think anything happened to Ryan Serhant from it. I think it was just like, oh, LOL, take a poll. Did Ryan go too far? And that was it. But I think in this day and age, what I said was like social media being what it is now, viewers being able to give direct feedback and say, we hated that. That was awful. You know, that's a terrible thing to do. And then the new laws that we have now about revenge porn and about trying to air things like that in a public forum, that would not happen now, we hope.
Yeah, and the laws about revenge porn have become tighter, certainly. Mm-hmm. So there's less flexibility if a person wanted to go down that route than there was before, including in states around consent for like that point of distribution, not if they had given consent prior to whatever event took place, but in the way that you're showing it and also in your intent. Are you doing this to humiliate someone? Are you doing this specifically because you're trying to get them to like lose money professionally? I got into Georgia case law on the Kenya episode, but it would not have passed the smell test, I don't think now, but I also don't know. Because there's a difference between uproar to something happening and it airing. And I don't know that the network now would choose not to air it. I think that they probably would think, you know, if this was in incredibly poor taste and maybe cross some lines, let's leave that to the audience to drag Ryan.
I don't know. I think that right now, especially Bravo's in such a space that they would not, the producer, because he had to have had producer knowledge in support of that. I mean, the entire episode was that. And I hope that now the producers on any show would be like, hey, buddy, let's think of something else to do with our time. Like, let's not.
Okay. That raises a point. And just between us, just us two little gals chatting.
Just two ladies having a chat.
A little chat on Friday at 4:30 in the morning, 4:45, excuse me.
It does feel like that. It feels like I woke up to go fishing with my grandpa. That's how early it feels.
Well, let's catch a shark, shall we? With all things Kenya, conspiracy theory, opinion, idea, do you think anyone in the room from a production perspective knew what was coming?
If they did, they should be let go.
But do you think that anyone knew? Not what are the consequences they should face, but do you think anyone had an idea of what was coming? Just a total, this is based on pure speculation. We know literally nothing. I'm just curious for your thoughts.
So what I talked about is the logistics of it, right? So the one photo that I saw was two pieces of poster board leaning against each other, like leaning against the wall. And there were pieces of paper that had been, you know, printed out and then it looked like glue sticked to these poster boards. Hmm. And you could see that the top one was like, you know, financial stuff like, bah, bah, she's broke or whatever on it. The picture's out there somewhere. People have seen it. And it was just verbiage, tiny print, shoddy job, terrible arts and crafts. Can't read it from 3 feet away. Like, that's add insult to injury, why don't you? Then you could see that the poster board behind it was probably the one with the photos on it because it was pieces of paper, you know, glued. And you could see there was some sort of images or something, but you could not see them at all from like the angle that it was at. You just see there was something on there. So that means somebody had to go buy poster board, print this stuff out, get a glue stick. Did Kenya do all that by herself? See Kenya going in and glue sticking things on a poster board, or did someone help her? How many people knew about this? I feel like she probably had people hyping her up. Mm. Whoever she's rolling with.
You know what? It's a solid question about like who on her team, but then at a certain point, like if your boss is telling you to do these things, I don't know. It's a difficult position to be in because you might not know the legalities. I feel pretty confident that Kenya was not thinking or aware that this was potentially illegal. Do not think she was thinking about that.
No.
Doesn't make it okay, but I'm just saying the intent. I think she was thinking purely, I want to sex shame and intimidate this person.
No. If there was no part of her that didn't feel like her stomach dropped a little bit, like maybe that's just me, and I hope that other people also would feel like a stomach drop moment of like, I'm about to put photos on the wall of, you know, XYZ. She's got to work on herself. If she in no way thought this might be going too far, not even too far for the show, but just too far in life.
I mean, I think she thought it was going too far, which is why she wanted to do it. I think she thought this is going to be an explosive moment. She was right, but she was the one who exploded. She was wrong about who was going to get, for lack of a better term, I don't mean this literally, like fucked from this.
Yeah, I'm going to ruin her. Well, you ruined yourself instead.
You know what? Sometimes that happens with some of those hard shots you take. You accidentally hit yourself in the face. You know what I'm saying? Like you think you're throwing it away, but you're using a mirror.
That's how I honestly feel about Real Housewives these days. It's like some of these women get so hyper-focused on doing a takedown of another one of them, and all they ever end up doing is making themselves look worse, but they don't learn.
Yeah, Absolutely. And I do just want to share a quick little update that's coming from lovebeatscott.com. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Kenya Moore's time with the Real Housewives of Atlanta has come to an end after she was briefly suspended, then fired. We previously reported that Kenya was fired and the door for her future return was closed. And now we're back to clarify exactly what led to the decision. We'll start with the gun threat allegation. Sources close to the situation tell us that Kenya did raise claims of an alleged gun threat made by newbie Brittany Eady before her hair spa event, but production investigated and couldn't substantiate the claims. There was no indication of Kenya refusing to film or taking some time off. In fact, our sources say she continued to plan her hair spa event with no added precautions or additional concerns for her safety. Part of that planning included blowing up sexually compromising photos of Brittany to display for attendees. It was clear that Kenya went through great lengths to antagonize her, another source tells us. Those photos aren't easily accessible on the internet, otherwise they'd be circulating right now. She not only got the photos from somewhere, but also got posters made. That's not something you would do to someone who allegedly threatened you with a gun. Sidebar, I got into that on the Kenya deep dive. The source continues, everyone, especially production, was shocked that Kenya would do this in front of a room of people. It's no secret that Bravo and NBC Universal has been under fire in recent months, facing allegations of allowing misconduct. After Kenya's stunt, she was suspended from filming while production determined whether or not her actions were in violation of her contract. As it turns out, production found that Kenya's actions violated their code of conduct clause and ultimately decided she won't be returning back. Bravo never accused Kenya of revenge porn. That was never what the investigation was about, a third source close to production tells lovebscott.com. It was about determining if Kenya's actions involving sexually explicit images violated the code of conduct, and they did. She can point fingers, all she wants, but she has nobody to blame but herself. While outside sources say Kenya's considering legal actions, we're told neither production nor the network are concerned because no one decided to show those images but her. Production is now trying to figure out where to go, whether or not Kenya's previously filmed scenes will be included in the season at all. We're told Kenya's episodes leading up to the event could still air, but the event footage is more than likely to be scrapped. There's a lot of chatter around whether or not Kenya's been fired, and she has. Her time with the network is done, and the decision was made for her.
I mean, that's interesting that it was about their code of conduct. I would love to see that. Have we ever read that?
I haven't, but if we can like figure out what the Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts use and then just compare it to Bravo and NBC Universal, I think, you know, we would get a little, what's that thing called that they get? A little badge. I want to get a code of conduct badge by reading it out loud on a podcast episode.
Interesting. And I don't know if she's going to pursue legal action. I said, you know, when I talked about it, I felt like that would just be a waste of money. Like, Kenya, take the L, do the work on yourself, sit for a minute. Don't be trying to fight back every second, everything, always. Like, just take in the feedback.
I mean, I think there's a gray area here. She's losing a ton of fucking money. I could see her.
Whose fault is that?
I know, but I could see her arguing that a like toxic workplace environment, yada, yada. She felt like this was something that the network would find entertainment. I know it gets into legal matters in terms of what she was explicitly showing and the manner that she was doing it. But
the only way that I could see if she had a really strong argument is like if a producer was egging this on.
Yeah, but I don't know how you prove that.
I don't know. I don't know what goes on in production world.
Neither do I. I barely know what goes on in ours. So there's that on that. Listen, I do want to shift gears a little bit because I know you put out a hyper-focused analysis of all things New Jersey.
I did. It was a plastic cup. Plastic, not glass. Plastic.
So I didn't know that. I wasn't even thinking about the material of the form of glass. So someone brought that up and said it was glass. This is like so bad. I was like, oh shit, I didn't even think about that. But apparently it was plastic. How do we know it was plastic?
Because the cups, they're plastic. They're having their party outdoors on their cement back patio. And then Paulie, you know, he goes to the bar to get another drink a little bit earlier. And he's like, hey, it's my drink, blah, blah, blah. He has one of those thicker plastic. So it's not the kind of plastic. I have one in my house somewhere. I might have to do a demonstration. I will do a crush test if this is what it takes. I will show my hand squishing different kinds of plastic cups. Mm-hmm. The kind I'm talking about is a thicker, more brittle plastic. You see them at events. They can be branded. Gah-gah-gah. Anyway, it was plastic.
Do we think it was a weightier and possibly more dangerous material than what Ramona leveled at Kristen Takeman in the water?
No, not at all. What Ramona threw glass at Kristen Takeman, didn't she? Oh, no, that was that heavy duty. That was that like heavy duty
and it outdoor. Cut her. She bled. Mm-hmm. She bled for that.
Well, they were drinking out of, I don't even know what you call that anymore. I used to have those for like outdoor parties when I liked a few people and I don't anymore. They're like a wine glass. It's thicker plastic. It's meant for looking like glass, but it's not glass. That's a different kind of plastic. We got a lot of plastics in the world. They're going to kill us all at some point. But there are variations of plastic cups.
Okay. So we are essentially attempting to eliminate that question by saying that they are plastic. It sounds like it was, in fact, potentially plastic until we're told otherwise.
It was for sure. It crushed, it cracked in half, fell to the ground.
If staying hydrated was an Olympic sport, I would get a gold medal every time. Now, AGs know that I take staying hydrated really seriously. I happen to have a health condition which requires a precise focus on hydration and electrolytes throughout the day. And especially with the summer heat in New York City in full swing, staying hydrated and having those electrolytes is more important than ever before. That's why I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV delivers better hydration than water alone with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients, including my beloved sodium. God bless. It is so easy to use. My favorite thing to do is chill a bottle of water, throw that in my bag, go for a light, lovely little stroll, and I enjoy a packet of Liquid IV in that water. So I can stay my best throughout the day. It's so easy. My personal favorite is lemon lime. I also love adding Liquid IV to some seltzer and have a little bit of a spritz when I'm back in my apartment. Liquid IV is also the hydration multiplier. It's perfect for before, during, and after workouts. And for me as a chronic walker, I love, love, love taking a stroll around New York. It's the perfect complement. And better to have some Liquid IV electrolytes and hydration before you start to feel bad. I always have a couple sticks in my bag wherever I go. Liquid IV is the #1 powdered hydration brand in America. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today by using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. You know what I don't love at all? That vicious week before I start my period. I feel like I want to crawl out of my skin. I just don't feel like myself. I have crazy cravings, usually a week and a half before. I know when I want a little bit of extra sugar and some carbs that the hormones are happening. And for those who are going through menopause or perimenopause, that feeling of having a struggle to find comfort in your body or being done with menopause but still feeling like a wet sock on a busy highway. Well, lucky for me, I can manage PMS with Estro Control. And for those dealing with menopause or perimenopause, there is Hormone Harmony. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. And a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony alone. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who is currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that.
Yeah.
So you have watched that scene, that moment, over and over again. What is it about that altercation that you find potentially fascinating? Like, what's your reaction to all of it?
Well, I mean, the reaction is always so interesting of the Bravo sphere, right? People have such different personalities and such different lines in the sand of what they think was too far. And that is what I always find fascinating about a tussle between people. Whatever happens, whenever people scrap on Bravo, there's always a variation of opinions on, well, she had it coming because she did X. No, she had it coming, but because she did A. And that is the conversation. So some people are like talking all big and bad and tough online, like, you stepped to me. You talked to me like that close to my face. You know, you obviously never been in a fight before. And I'm like, okay, all right, that's your line in the sand. And then other people are saying, no, no, no. No, the only person to lay hands is Jen Aiden. When she shoved and she initiates physical contact, and I'm in that camp. I'm in the camp of like, you can yell in faces all day. Like, people get heated. People yell in each other's faces. It doesn't always lead to physical violence. Once you lay hands, I feel like that is the argument before a judge where you're like, judge, she laid hands, you know?
I mean, I personally totally agree. I am also in that latter camp. But do you think that there is an argument you would potentially understand that because Danielle was mere centimeters from Jen Aiden's redone nose, that Jen felt like she was under physical threat because they were, you know, cheek to cheek?
Look, I mean, perception is reality, right? But if she felt that way, she in no way gave indications of it. So I've watched it. She's, you know, she's smirking. She's leaning into it. She's still antagonizing. It's not, she's not cowering. She's not backing up. She's not trying to gain ground. It's like Mothra, Godzilla, smack up to each other's face, both given it. And then she pushes, does that shove push. And then now she's saying, you know, in the previews for next week, like if someone punched you in the head, so she's calling it a punch, but it was really more of just like a slap with the plastic glass, because I think she was trying to throw that water, but she's very strong. Danielle's got those traps and she came around and it clocked into the side of that head with the whatever was in there. I don't know, water, something.
You know what? To be honest, I didn't even see it as a slap. I could be completely wrong.
What would you call it?
I thought it was more of a throw. It was like a defensive throw, but she did make contact.
Yeah. And that cup, and that cup broke. So you got to go, you got to squish that cup.
I mean, I think it's tough, honestly, to really truly align with Jen's perspective, because you get into this weird muddled area of like, what was Jen's goal?
You lost me at the step and repeat, Jen. She lost me back at the step and repeat, and I've been heated since. So that was hard to watch. And I said, you know, violence is never the answer. Never, ever, ever. But there is a level of satisfaction when you see somebody get antagonized and then pushed and they hit back with whatever it is that they choose to do. And with, in this case, it was a drink.
Yeah, and it seems like Jen's goal genuinely was to provoke a physical reaction.
I agree.
She just got ahead of herself. She didn't get the response that she wanted quickly enough and maybe just got a little too fucking excited for this thing. And she forgot that her job seemingly was to provoke Danielle into being physical so that she was the victim. She forgot, and she was like, let's switch positions for a second, and then maybe realize what she did. But she seemed pretty happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was an act. I feel like I saw some panic behind those eyes, you know, a little concern when she was just standing in the same spot, like dabbing herself, being like, I'm fine, with like a glued on smile on her face. I'm like, I think, you know, you went too far. I think, you know, something happened tonight that you can't undo.
Do you think it was fear of the fact that she knew she crossed lines, or do you think she was just like reacting to being, I guess,
myriad things. So a couple things. So Dolo comes back and says, did you push her? You know, people are starting to put it together, because after it first happened, nobody says like, oh my God, like you shouldn't have pushed her. A lot of people are saying they didn't see it. Teresa's like, I didn't even see it get pushed. Teresa, you were right there. How did you not see the shove that started this? In her defense, it did happen very, very, very fast.
Yeah.
So I think Jen Aiden is dealing with, Dolo's looking at me, because Dolo knows if I shoved somebody like that, for them to retaliate is absolutely expected. And what does she say when Dolo asks her, did you push her? What'd she say? I don't know.
Impression.
I don't know if I pushed her. I don't know if I... You don't know? So yeah, I think she knew she messed up.
She 100% was like lying her ass off in that moment.
She does it. She usually does it a little bit better, except remember that time she got the like psychic lady to come and she... So like, we know who Jen Aiden is. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jen Aiden, stop.
Poor sweet Jen. What do you think the network's reaction is to all this? They seemingly got suspended, quote unquote, indefinitely while there was an investigation launched. Do we think that was a step too far, or is this the new reality where production is like either going to overcorrect or just attempt to say, this is bad?
I don't know. It's a weird time again at Bravo, but boy, wouldn't you love to be on that investigation team? Like, like, what do you think they look into? I want to know. I think we deserve, even like if it's a really old beef that got looked into, like, let us see behind the scenes what went into that investigation. That could be a series of its own.
That's a Peacock premium, dear.
I would watch that.
I mean, they might need the money or whatever. I feel like maybe we could. I don't think we could because of confidentiality, but
I mean, I want to see people analyzing it and being like, okay, that's what we take issue with there. Like, that is breaking our this, and this, and I don't know. I'm curious. But yeah, I mean, I think Bravo did the safest thing, which is to say, clear the chessboard. Everybody relax. We're going to look into this, because Jen Aiden has turned it into very quickly, I was punched. So they got to take that seriously. They got to look into that and say, let's watch this footage. Let's analyze all of this. Let's look at whatever was going on in the background. And I don't know. I mean, did they ever come out and say their final verdict on everything?
I mean, I think it was one of those, like, production or the network found that they're both able to return to work, that there wasn't greater cause beyond that. I'm sure it had an impact, though, in Jen's seemingly tenuous relationship with the powers that be, coupled with everything that we heard has allegedly gone on seemingly like in real time, or at least that has come out in real time about her yada yada on social and whatnot, or with people on social and whatnot. I was honestly a little confused as to how this merited a days-long investigation with both of these women then temporarily suspended. Because I just, maybe this is like lazy thinking or being too simplistic, but I was like, how does this go over a day? You have the video of it. It wasn't a long-standing thing. You don't really need to like interview people because it's all quite literally on tape. So I didn't totally get how it could be days long, like, because at a certain extent, as you said, like Jen's reaction to it of saying she got hit or something or got punched, if you have the tape and it does not look like that happened, how does this take several days?
I don't know. And it's one of two things, right? It's either like they're doing an extremely thorough job and they're looking at, like, I don't know, anything beyond what they have footage of, or it's like a Rice Krispie commercial that used to air in the 90s. Where a mom goes in, the kids are like, make us Rice Krispies. And she goes into the kitchen and she's there for a really long time. She's reading a book. She's having a good time. And then she throws flour on her face and she musses up her hair and she makes the Rice Krispies and comes back. And the point of the commercial was it's so easy to do, but she makes it seem like it's really difficult to make the Rice Krispies every time her kids want them. And I wonder if that is what this is about. Like, we're taking this so seriously. We're going to look into this for 2 weeks. And legitimately, you could just watch the footage for like 2 hours and be like, okay, we see what happened.
And I mean, 2 hours is like fairly generous.
I know, but I mean, I could, because when I put it on that slow-mo, ooh.
And what surprised you the most about that slow-mo?
That Jen's hands come back up. The audacity. She shoves, but then as she shoved and she's calling her, you're an asshole, or whatever she said, dirtbag. Push, and their hands come back up, and they look like, it looks like this, grazes, and Danielle sees that hand, and then she's swinging. So it wasn't just a push, it was like she swiped back up, and it almost like is her finger almost swipes and hits Danielle, like raises her nose, not hits, but grazes, because she's swiping back up. So it wasn't, to me, it wasn't just a push. If I was Danielle in that moment, I'd be like, she was coming back for more.
I mean, she was very close to the neck. No?
Yeah, it was like clavicle shoulders.
Ooh, don't come for the clav. The clav is like my favorite. I love a clav. Yeah. Don't come for that clav.
I know. And how do you look at Danielle? Like, Jersey vibrating in her blood. And traps. She lifts. 100% that woman works out and lifts weights. That's the one I'm going to push. What? Wrong one, Jen.
Well, I think that Jen either thinks she's impenetrable or maybe looks at that.
She got that Teresa confidence. She got that Teresa sidekick because she's like the sassy parrot on Teresa's shoulder.
Sassy parrot. I think that's a possibility. And I also think she might think subconsciously, I don't think she's thinking this deep, but like maybe, oh, this person who's like, you know, who lifts weights or whatever, it's going to make me look even better as a potential victim of this if they come for me because they have more strength.
I don't think Danielle ever would have hit her or initiated physical violence. She was processing information. The shock on her face of this woman saying that this just very brief phone call to let her know, like, hey, you're going to go to this thing. It's actually to sell a product. You won't be getting paid. I just want to make sure you know. That seems like a totally rational thing to tell a friend. And she's making it seem like, I was shocked you were trying to make money off your friend. You dogged your girl. Just hyping her up, twisting it, just winding it. Telling her she stole from a charity. Telling her she should have been on the step and repeat, which If I was Terminator going into a hot pit of lava, last words, she had no business being on the step and repeat. So that's my thought on that. And Sarah, let's talk about it. Can we talk about a step and repeat?
Absolutely. I can talk about that all day long. Go on.
Now, we know damn well, as former events people.
Mm-hmm. And also current, if anybody.
Well, you current. I don't not, dance no. Current. I don't dance yeah. no mo. But you current. So we know that if you are going to have your talent come to the event, whatever that talent is, could be a musician. It could be a business person. I said in my podcast, it could be a scientist, could be an author of a famous book. That person, nor their spouse or partner or lover's business, does not go on the step and repeat. The people who go on the step and repeat are the sponsors of the event. Am I right or am I wrong?
Mic drop. You are right. Now, if Aiden Plastic Surgery had made a donation.
Correct.
Including, by the way, like a donation in kind of like some sort of gift certificate or something
sure.
to be raffled off.
Sure.
And it met that monetary
Absolutely.
Level. And even that, because it's not straight cash, there needs to be a decision made of like, does this count as a sponsorship versus a gift? Then you can have that conversation, I
Correct.
Think. And like, if they're helping, you know, there's this whole thing of like, what did you do for the event? You just showed up.
Well, I did show up and I'm a celebrity, so get me out of here.
It's that to me is a little complicated because the showing up, I mean, you know what it is that you're doing here. That's not, it is technically helping whatever organization this was for, but you're not financially supporting it. Like at the end of the day, what are you giving the organization to help them raise money before your like sassy little presence and smile? And you don't pass any smell test on that.
Yeah, I just felt like it was an upside down land to see her, you know, berating Danielle, who worked hard on this event, and saying, you're not considerate. You should have thought of this. You should have put namaste bitches on the step and repeat. I was about to break a glass. I was like yelling. I haven't yelled at a screen like that about event stuff since I watched the Fyre Festival documentaries.
Oh, no. This is more of a fired festival, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes. Oh, hey. So, yeah, I don't know. That was really tough to see Danielle getting all this nonsense. It really was like upside down world. And she's having to try to explain. And the explanations aren't working because at the end of the day, I agree with Dolo. It's not about that. It's not about the step and repeat. It's not about the hair girl. It's not about Jen doesn't like Danielle. Something has happened to, I think, where Jen felt like, I like when Teresa and I are besties. Dolo has known Teresa like their entire lives. There's no getting rid of Dolo. She doesn't pose a threat. She's not like a clingy kind of friend. I think she wants to keep that tightness between her and Teresa, and she wanted Danielle out of the picture.
You think it was more about preserving her level of intimacy with Teresa versus feeling that Danielle was disloyal?
Correct.
Huh. That's interesting to me. And if you are Jackie, how are you processing all of this?
Oh, Jackie. Oh, man. I don't know. Jackie's in a rough spot. I'm just cringing for Jackie at this point. I'm like, Jackie, you playing everything wrong. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Jackie?
It's tough to watch, but also I really could talk about her for literal hours. Let's do that now, shall we? I just it feels like she's almost frantic at this point to figure out a way.
Rope and wind.
She is to figure out a way to make her behavior seem pure and her decisions.
It was Marge. At the end of the day, it was. But no, Dolo, let's not focus on what I sent to you. Marge. Marge was so wrong for that, Dolo.
Jackie is now 85 years young. That interpretive dance, and I'm here for it. Yeah, it's tough for Jackie, who I keep referencing in my head as Jacqueline, which is inappropriate because there is another Jacqueline, Jacqueline the Rita, and that is frankly confusing. But I just, for some reason, it feels like she needs a more formal name, because what we're watching right now is...
Jackina.
It is a character study on how to flop, and I
It's like, almost beautiful.
It is almost beautiful. And the thing of it is, it's really not a question of Jackie's intelligence. It's more about, I think, her desperation and what desperation can do to someone's emotional and other forms of IQ. You know, it's tough because you're also being humiliated on so many different levels.
So many.
So are we going to acknowledge that? Because you were very into keeping things real previously. So are we now just professionally playing dumb? Because, you know, you're with the right team if that's the goal. But I don't know, babe. This has all been like a morality test for Jackie of who's lighter. Whose energy feels darker and more complicated and mean. And then all this info is coming out that maybe the nice girls aren't that nice. And it's like, okay, well then what does that say about you?
Yeah, I mean, the irony of her being like, going to Teresa's house, when was it, an episode or two ago, saying, I just want to be, you know, I want to have like fun. I want like fun friends, like live, laugh, love, love, love over here with you all. And they're like, oh gosh, so great. Help us destroy Margaret. Tell us everything you know. And she's like, no, I can't do that. You can. So it's been a very interesting journey for Jackie. I don't know what she's going to do, but she has made the mistake, in my opinion, of telling people who dislike Margaret strongly and feel that she is evil, that she can destroy this woman, that she has the secret stone that can end this evil monster. And so they want that. They want her to say, what you got on her? You keep telling everybody in the entire cast that you could end Margaret, that you've got all her secrets, everything she's ever been hoarding from people, telling her stuff. And Jackie's saying, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. And I think that's going to get old real quick.
Yeah, I think she needs to do that.
If she wants to stay, live another moment. But I don't think it's going to last very long, because it's then you do that and then what? Thanks, Jackie. Crumple. Throw over shoulder. Like, she served her purpose.
She's trying to be, and may God have mercy on my soul for this comparison. She's trying to be like a less successful or maybe adventurous Teddy Joe Carrot with some of this, of like paying the piper when it comes to her friendship with Kyle and what that entails. But also there's some energy here around, I won't let you use me to Marge, that feels a little reminiscent of Teddy's argument with LVP.
But
I think Teddy was actually, God help us, maybe a little bit better at communicating that and setting the narrative.
I won't engage in this.
I'm so sorry. I just, you know, I fucked up about my memory of Million Dollar Listing, and now I'm saying something. I'm not saying like Teddy Joe. God help us. It's like getting me into that kind of energy here of both someone who's like sort of begging and pleading to be the little sister of an OG, you know, someone with a lot of power and authority on a franchise, and also saying, oh, this other person is using me. Mm-hmm. Which isn't to say, by the way, that Marge is in the clear here. It's just more about Jackie's responses, because they're more central now, because she's really flopping hard.
It's pretty bad. It is pretty bad. And I don't think Marge doesn't seem nervous about it at all. She's like, okay, Jackie. And I honestly wouldn't be nervous either. I'd be like, do what you got to do. Fine. Yeah, these two sides know that they don't like each other. So really, what's the big thing if Marge has secrets on people and she's told Jackie? I don't know.
I mean, I do think that Marge has an arsenal. I think that she has resources at her disposal that she's cultivated.
The other side's got a private detective.
Right.
Everybody's doing this shit. Everybody.
This is the thing that it's like we forget, though, what other people are doing. So, again, it's this morality test that the audience is now participating of like, well, you did bad things. And it's like, OK, well, someone's bringing a knife to a gun show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, OK, so it's almost like if you get pulled over by the cops and they're like, you were speeding. And I'm like, flow of traffic. Flow of traffic, man. What do you want me to do? Hold up traffic? Wait, come on. I'm not trying to be a problem. Mm-hmm. So it's just like that is the temperature of the water that they are in. If you want to keep dog paddling in this show, you've got to meet this level that they're at. That's how they're playing this game these days. So I don't really know that Jackie could end Margaret, but I think it's that saying, hearing that, that just gets people like a little shiver up their spine of like, okay, do it. What you got? And Jackie's not saying anything yet.
And P.S., I don't know that Marge is like not a little tense about this. My guess is that she is and maybe like should be. But the problem that Marge is sort of facing is she's dealing with these explosions of anger. And that doesn't necessarily create a really streamlined, strategic environment or response. Like, she's really, to me, losing it a little bit because she's just so upset. She feels like Jackie has been disloyal to her or is avoiding, or maybe she feels paranoid that there's something in the book that she is scared of reading that's maybe about her, the show. Not saying that like something happened, but just saying that there's a level here of emotion that might be clouding some of Marge's judgments.
Yeah, and I could see how that would happen, right? So I don't know how close these women are in actuality, emotionally, legit, I don't know. But if they really are good friends and Jackie wrote a book about her life and other people have read the book and you have not, that's a weird feeling of like, hey, how come these other women who, you know, have not been always great to you have read your book, and I'm one of your closest friends, longest friends, and I have not read this book? That's a weird place to be in. And then, you know, for Jackie to say to her, like, you're just jealous. You're jealous because I'm friends with Teresa now and da da da. So Marge definitely lit a match and threw it when she sent that text message. Did it make for an amazing, iconic episode? Absolutely, it did. I don't know what she could have done to show Jackie, don't try to go kiss up to these people now that I know the truth, that you have been talking crap about them. And as usual, Dolores is like the soothsayer. And she's like, you know, Jackie talks a lot of shit. That's why Jackie gets herself in trouble. And she texted Marge, you know, calling Dolores a slob and saying she hated her. Now, Marge could have played that another way. She could have walked up to Jackie and been like, you want to go around here saying all this stuff to these people, and just showed her phone and been like, remember that I know how you really feel about a lot of stuff. So I'm just saying, cool it. Stop coming for me like this. Whatever happened between us, like, these are the kinds of things that I actually know about you that I could share, but I'm not going to. And then maybe we never would have seen it, but we would have been like, what the hell was on that phone? But she sent it. And I think for Jackie, that was sort of like, a defining moment, because now she's really trying to tread water with Dolores and it's not going to work.
And Dolo is like, no, sorry.
She's done. She cut her off like a gangrene limb. Over. I see you for who you are. Thanks, Marge.
Which was unfortunately also iconic.
It was. But Jackie, she flew too close to the sun. She walked over there and started hugging on Joe after you having a fight with Margaret. Sarah, just imagine for a moment that you've gotten into it with a close friend, and the close friend runs over and is hugging
Christopher Manzo.
And hugging, and who, well, to each their own, and is hugging on your man,
Chris.
Marge had more patience and self-control than me, for sure. She walked over and she was like, no, Joe, no, we're not friends with her. No, she's not a friend to us. I would have ripped somebody off of him, you know? She was very measured about that.
I mean, it does feel a slightly maybe immature, but I also get it. It's like, no, don't pretend. You're not going to pretend that you love this man. He is my husband.
She did it right in front of her. Marge is watching it.
It was not okay. It was not okay. God, I really, Jackie, man, I can't imagine calling anybody a slob. She obviously used the word incorrectly. Mm-hmm. It's because this lady didn't tag you on Instagram. Like,
I could see how that would be hurtful. I can. And I think a DM would have been appropriate, or a text and been like, hey, you forgot to tag me. You can still go in and do that. Like, hey, go in and tag me. I would love to share that photo.
I mean, you can share it without it being tagged, though.
I'm just saying.
Sometimes you just got to take the L. Sometimes it's like, you know?
But if it was really bothering her, I think you go to the friend in your friend group who tagged everybody but you and be like, hey, what am I, chopped liver? You didn't tag me and Evan.
I know that I am sensitive. So, like, I am sensitive to other people's sensitivities because I'm like, we see each other, but...
That would definitely, that would stand out to me. I would be a little bit hurt if everybody in the friend group was tagged and I wasn't.
Okay.
But I would say something.
Yeah. Maybe that's the thing, is like, it's the choices of how to react, and her gut instinct was to process it as goss.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe she, that's the thing, is it's not some radical, crazy text to have shown. Like, she complained to a friend she was closer with that her feelings were hurt. Where she went wrong was then talking shit about Dolores before she went to Dolores and said, like, hey, you forgot to tag me. Duh. She jumped to a conclusion that Dolores did that with malicious intent.
I know summer is upon us when I get just the instinctive need and desire for a veggie dog and a veggie burger. And maybe putting on my sunglasses, which I also happen to wear at night during wintertime as well. And for those delicious summer grilling meals and outdoor entertaining, bread and buns are essential when you're serving up those burgers, hot dogs, sandwiches, and more. That's where Hero Bread steps in. Hero Bread reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. Hero Bread fits perfectly into so many different lifestyles and health goals. Getting enough fiber, cutting down on sugar, adding more protein, Hero is here to save the day. Hero Bread has all your favorites with no consequences or compromises. 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and high in fiber. Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code Andy at checkout. That's Andy at hero.co. I love chickpeas so much that at one point, my former roommate, shout out Taryn, had a little bit of an intervention with me about my daily chickpea intake. I love it so much, but unfortunately, in the wild world of podcasting and just living in New York City, I don't have the time to give the chickpeas the love they deserve, which is why I love Cook Unity. Cook Unity is the first chef-to-you service delivering locally sourced meals from award-winning chefs right to your door every week, and it's cheaper than other delivery options. My friend of the Moroccan chickpea tagine with turmeric rice. It features my beloved chickpeas as the star of the show, and a big step up from my usual sauteed chickpeas with pepper and salt. There's no cooking required for chef quality dining experience right at home when you use Cook Unity. My food arrives fresh, never frozen, in packaging that keeps meals fresh in the fridge for up to 7 days. There are hundreds of dishes to choose from, and the menu is updated constantly. I mean, I'm vegetarian, typically dairy-free, but I err on the side of vegan. There are tons of options to choose from. Go to cookunity.com/andysgirls or enter code andysgirls before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code andysgirls or going to cookunity.com/andysgirls today. Now, you guys know I love a solo trip to Paris, but there have been a couple instances while on vacay at my home away from home where I'm walking through an arrondissement and the directions that I'm given are not great. I have found myself multiple times late at night on these kind of side streets, which sure might get me back to my hotel a little quicker than not, but don't make me, a single woman, comfortable, especially when traveling alone. That's why I love Life 360. It gives me peace of mind and also my mom, who knows when I'm on vacation that I'm okay. She can check in as she does daily, but also by checking Life 360, she's able to see where I am and when. There are times where I miss a text or a call, and that's not just when I'm on vacation. It's obviously also when I'm back home. Life 360 works to bring that necessary peace of mind. And there are ways to customize according to your lifestyle. Life 360 has phone finding features called tiles. You can use them to find a lost item. That gives me a lot of comfort, especially because I'm someone who constantly misplaces things, including my keys. Life 360 is a lifeline during emergencies, especially with free crash detection, which sends you an alert if someone in your circle is in an accident. It has your family's back when they're on the road with things like crash detection, emergency dispatch, road assistance, driver report cards. You can track your stuff with tiles, stay connected with loved ones without constantly bugging them, and make everyday family life better. Parents have enough to worry about. Breathe easier with Life 360. Visit life360.com or download the app today and use code AndySkrolls to get 1 month off of the gold package for free, plus 15% off all tiles. That's life360.com. Use code AndySkrolls.
And she also thought that her confidences with Marge were always going to be protected. Do you think that they should have been? Or does the universe of housewives really kind of make any possible norms null and void?
You know, there's how I live my life, and then there's Real Housewives. So I think for the show Real Housewives, Jackie should have known better. You know, you should know that you're giving somebody stuff to use against you if you're going to turn on them, if you're going to yell at them at a party, not have them have read your book, go over and be hugging on their husband, blah, blah, blah. This person has stuff.
It's tough. It's
she's not doing well. She's not doing well.
You know, she's not doing great. And I just, is this going to make her feel closer to Teresa and Jen? Oh, tell me your thoughts.
But also, we're talking about her. She's not forgotten. You know, she's making waves, however cringy the waves are right now. She's part of storylines.
Yeah, I wonder for Jackie the sacrifice of trying to believe that there's no such thing as bad press when she absolutely believes there is such a thing as bad press.
Well, that's on her. I think for her to have gone from one faction to the other, she had to have known that that was going to be a spectacle.
How are you feeling about the dangling carrots? Not to trigger anybody currently involved in All In, but how do you feel about Andy's kind of like focus and marketing opportunity of saying you're not getting a reunion, but the finale will clearly answer why that's not happening and also replace it? He's saying two things. What are your thoughts on that?
So to go back to carrots, it's sort of like if you said, hey, can we have dessert? And your mom says, have some carrots. They're a little bit sweet. It's not the same. Mm. So there's either a reunion or there's not, and there's not going to be a reunion. And, you know, Andrew, bless him, he will try to put a positive spin on just about anything, won't he? And that's his job. That pays for the Hamptons home. And that's great. But we know that there just is not a reunion, and that sucks.
And looking to the future, how do we feel? What do you think is going to happen? What's your dream situation?
Oh, do I have dreams of Jersey? not normally, but, you know, there's a lot of talk. There's a lot of talk about wiping the board and keeping only key players. And I feel like I don't know what the world looks like on a show on Jersey without some of these key players. If they started over fresh, might be, I don't know. But where do we go from here? And I feel like we've been asking that question after every season for a really long time.
Mm.
I do enjoy watching Dolores. I know she wrote the letter to support Tommy Manzo, and that's going to bother me forever.
What a
and
mess.
That tells me more about her than I wanted to know. But she's good for TV. I like keeping up with some of them. I really enjoyed Danielle. So, and I think Dolores, Teresa, Danielle, like they're all cut from the same cloth, like straight shooter. Don't play with me. I mean, Teresa's she's kind of off on the side there. So let's just say Dolores and Danielle, they're kind of cut from the same cloth. But I enjoy that kind of personality, seeing that on Jersey. They amuse me.
Do you think that there is a genuine possibility that Teresa might not come back?
No, I think if there's always a Jersey Housewives, that they will always have Teresa.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
So if you believe that Teresa's going to be back, I mean, bye-bye, Marge and Melissa.
I don't know.
There's no way. You can't have both sides. The whole thing that they are telling us, that they told us at the beginning of the season, is this is not sustainable. And now we know at the end, it's not only not sustainable, but we can't even finish the season because of these two warring factions. There is no way to continue the show with both Teresa and Marge.
Why do you think there's no reunion? Do you think it's because of the tussle, or do you think it's because of the dynamics of people not even wanting to be in the same room?
I think it's the dynamics of people not wanting to be in the same room. I think obviously something physical happens in the finale, and it seems like it's like layered. I don't know that it's necessarily Teresa v. Marge or Teresa v. Melissa. I think it's more, it's not just like the violin. There's also a flute. There's more of like an orchestral feeling here. We've got some like other people in the band picking up some instruments and starting to sing. But I also think the network probably isn't interested in the conversation that would take place if a reunion was held. I think there's a difference between like fourth wall breaking, and we do not want to acknowledge some of these accusations and allegations. It's why Jen Aiden has been stricken from the map. And Teresa's still allowed and engaged in doing press, because you really can't do New Jersey press without involving Teresa. She's the central figure on New Jersey and is a huge, huge, huge name in the Housewives universe. But I think if they had had that reunion, it would have been the worst aspects of part three for like 7 hours of here's what I heard you were doing, here's what I heard you were doing. And it's just a game, a little bit of a game of behind the scenes limbo of like, how low can some of these people go? How low have some of these people gone? And I don't know how you get out of that.
Yeah. I mean, for me, you know, a reunion is also about acknowledging things that happened and things that were said in confessionals that otherwise do not get addressed. That is the whole point of a reunion. Nene was the first one to ever say, let's have a reunion, because she saw the crap that Kim Z was saying about her in confessionals and she wanted to address it. And so that's what we lose when we don't have a reunion, because whatever they go through on that final episode, whatever airing of the grievances dinner they have where actual glass goes crashing. And we saw it in the very beginning on episode one, where, you know, Dolo's sitting at that table looking like an absolute smoke show per usual. Mm. And there's just mayhem around her. Beautifully said table, food on the table that went uneaten, such a waste. And there was some sort of an issue, a fight that happened in that room, a discussion, a disagreement. And so I think that they get in there and everybody starts airing everything about and everything. But that doesn't really scratch that itch for us, because everybody still has their own myopic perspective of what they think their issue is, versus an unbiased party, Andy, coming from the outside, saying, asking them a direct question, clarifying an issue. So that's where I feel a little bit robbed. And I don't know what that last episode is going to look like, but I assume it's people just getting stuff out.
Yeah. And I don't know what their LOL alternate plan is going to be. There's rumors that it's some sort of like breaking into groups commentary of the finale, like a people's couch style. I call it people's couch, a people's couch style episode. I don't know. That's usually what like the after show is or was. So is that going to be enough? Like, are we thinking we need something? And also, I forget who it was. I think it was Melissa on Jeff Lewis Live who was like, I think Jeff raised this of like, you're losing some cash here because the members of the cast, they're not being paid for what would be probably three episodes worth of content. There's a big financial hit here for the cast, which you could argue is on them as well.
Yeah. And, you know, you said earlier, them not having a reunion is because, you know, even in the beginning, they alluded to like these people can't be in the same room together. Then that's on Bravo for keeping a cast going that they don't feel can be in the same room. People that I think there was one or two events where Marge and Teresa were at the same event and they just, you know, avoided each other or whatever. But if they don't feel that they can actually have that cast joined together, or maybe they were saying, okay, We're gonna test this, and we're gonna hope that these women throughout the filming season somehow find their way to communicating again. And that didn't happen. But they should have known. Like, Marge is very clear from the jump with, you know, Jen Fessler, early conversations saying, don't talk about me with her and don't talk about her to me. I don't wanna be anywhere she is. She's going to your thing, I'm not going to your thing. So they were very, very clear, Marge was at least, to me, that she did not want to have one thing to do with Teresa or any sort of collaboration, nothing.
I mean, Andy said that they had a recording date for the reunion. And I think it was something along the lines of like, but then we saw the finale and felt like this had been fulfilled versus in real time when the finale is happening. That day that the finale, that the luncheon or whatever was held, you would think that people then would be like, let's hold off on putting a date for the reunion on the calendar if it hadn't happened at that point. Because if you were in the room where it happened, my guess is that word spread that this was maybe not great when it comes to seeing this group record together again.
Yeah. And if there's already been one altercation, they've already had one tussle. And then they go into a room and it's even crazier. And Bravo's dealing what it's dealing with. And they say, you know what? Let's hedge our bets. Let's not put this group of women in a room together. Let's not have them all convene on the same day at the same time.
Yeah. And, you know, Bravo had the 15th anniversary episode of Watch What Happens is this Sunday at 9. And P.S. Where does the time go? And also, I was so happy to be in the audience and at the taping. So you can look on my social for more. But did I tell you about that? Did I not tell
you? No. Good for you.
I'm so sorry. It's been an interesting couple of weeks. So I had an absolute blast, and that was a lot of fun. Also, it was a little bit of an LOL. I got into this on a Patreon episode. It was a little bit of an LOL because we saw some of their entrances into the studio. We didn't know who was going to be the surprise guest. And so Teresa gets out and we're all like screaming for Teresa, but she is quickly followed by Louis. And it was just this like sort of quiet, but we're still cheering Teresa, but we're everyone, including Tree Huggers, have decided that the only person we are seeing right now is Teresa walking by us. And she was very sweet and waved and said something along the lines of like, and Melania's here too. And it was very funny. The line delivery of it was, I think I have a video of it. The line delivery was very funny. Melania looked adorable. And so that was a lot of fun. So you can see on my Instagram, and I guess maybe you'll see me in the background, maybe a little bit of the episode when they pan to the audience.
That's exciting. That's great.
Yes, it was great. I'm so thankful to Bravo and Watch What Happens for having me. It's an excellent episode. And also for any chumps, Jeff Lewis is there. And that was an absolute delight. But there was also an event at the Boom Boom Room, also in celebration of Watch What Happens. And allegedly there, Teresa was essentially staffed by a member of Bravo PR. I
think, I'm not sure, and I wasn't there, so I didn't see this, but from my understanding, she had someone essentially acting as not security, but I think somebody there just like staffing her in case, God forbid, something happened. And that's an event that Marge was also at, that Melissa was also at. But they kept a really big distance between each other as well. They should. This is not about them. This is about celebrating Andy and Watch What Happens. But it is interesting to me that from my understanding of things, Teresa had someone there to ensure that there wouldn't be stuff happening. But I don't know that that was the case for Melissa and Marge. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the thing, though, is that's a shame if you have to have that kind of precaution.
Yeah, know? It doesn't speak well of the current status of things. And it's this weird area we find ourselves in. And I really do not know where the show is going to go. And it looks pretty clear to me that neither does the show.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know how many episodes we have left until the reunion. I don't normally like to know that. I just want to go on the journey.
Well, zero episodes until the reunion, because the reunion isn't happening.
Well, you know what I mean. Until
finale.
The reunion light.
Right.
The finale slash it's as good as a reunion. Just smell the donut while you eat your salad. So I don't know.
It is, unfortunately, a little bit of a watch what happens, wait and see. So more to come. Listen, BBDB, you know Orange County is premiering before we know it, like literally within 2 weeks. I need to have you back. You know it's going to be.
There's the door, Shannon Bador. I can't wait.
You know it's going to be a tough season for me.
Shannon looks great, though, and I know that's your girl. She looks great.
She looks great.
You know, she's ready to weather the storm. Isn't her last name Storms? Shannon Storms?
It is. It is. But also, like, is she ready to weather it? Isn't that the whole reason?
I don't know. I mean,
because she's never ready.
It's really, is Archie. Is Archie ready to weather the storm? That's who we really care about.
She put up an Instagram story the other day because, like, Archie was like wrestling with something in the in the forest of her backyard. She was like, "Archie never does this. Archie, what are you doing? Archie, what are you doing?"
And he's like, "Let me live."
I know, he truly is having a happy moment, and we love that for him. I mean, the trauma bonding, what he has experienced. Just let the dog be a little dog man. Can we please? He's just getting through the day, and we love him. He's an angel.
We do.
Listen, this was such a delight. You know I love you. Just for any AGs, for the three or four of you at home listening to this episode, or maybe six, you know, a girl can dream. I just need to say that BBDB is such a girl's girl. I'm going through a whole lot of goddamn shit behind the scenes that we're not going to get into today. But
stay strong.
We got to stay strong. But she is, you know, the best kind of friend a person could ask for. And you have been so incredible.
Keep going.
I know. I will. You have been so incredible. And I just feel like I need to put out a little bit of a PSA because I'm sure I don't do this enough, just to say thank you so much. I truly do not know how I would have gotten through the last couple weeks and quite possibly the next couple hours without having you there. And just like, you know, I can only wish for people listening or maybe hearing about this on Reddit. I can only wish for people to have someone in their life like you have been for me. So I just want to say, you know, the best way of saying thank you is to say you're the best and encourage people to subscribe to your pod.
Yes. And you know what? Back at you, first of all.
I mean,
I appreciate you very much. And I'm always happy to help a friend in any way, shape, or form. That's what friendship is. We're going to get each other through this thing, this crazy little thing called life.
Love that perspective. And speaking of perspectives, can you tell the AGs a little bit about, I was about to call it hot and cold, but it is in fact high and low. I think I'm thinking about Katy Perry in my head as I say it out loud when I process the words.
Oh, Katy, she's going through something. Sorry. Did you hear that new song of hers?
No, does she have, you know, I'm dumb. Does she have a new song? I don't know.
I haven't heard it
on Broadway recently. Okay.
I'll send it to you.
Is it not good? I wouldn't even know.
Some people might like it. You know what? Art is subjective. My podcast is High and Low, and we talk about all kinds of things. In fact, I'm about to go press a button and put out an episode completely summarizing the Karen Reed trial in 1 hour. Yes, that's what I did with my time last night. Summarize the Karen Reed trial. I was like, let's pretend we're going out to lunch. You don't know anything about the Karen Reed trial? I'm going to tell you. Let's go.
And has that, I know a little bit
verdict
about
is coming
it.
In any minute. We okay, don't know when the verdict okay. is coming in. The jury's out.
Do you want to speculate on what you think that, I don't know. I really don't know enough about it.
I don't know. I mean, they're being very thorough. They've asked the judge for a police record regarding some evidence at the crime scene.
Okay.
The yard, the front yard crime scene. I don't know how much you know about the case.
Almost nothing. I know her name is Karen.
It's a wild one. It's okay. a wild one.
Okay. Love it. Yeah. I'm into that. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. And where can people follow you on social, BBDB?
I am Bravo Bravo Ducking Bravo on Instagram, Tiki Taki, YouTube, everywhere.
Loved that. And speaking of finding things, listen, there is a 2-hour, two-part Satchel Spectacular up now on the AG page. I react to and unpack many AG Satchels of Gold, thoughts and feels, questions and concerns named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Cloran Ben-Simone about New Jersey, Summer House, Traitors, talk about Kelly Cloran Ben-Simone's breakup, and a surprising update from her former fiancé that made me literally laugh out loud for several minutes. And also, of course, more on Marge, as well as Paul Bernan's little makeout sesh this week in New England, Bethany's ex.
Wait a minute. Who's that again?
Bethany's ex-fiancé.
I knew it! He's making out with somebody? I need to know everything.
With Olivia Culpo, who is a person, her sister in Massachusetts. She's getting married soon in Rhode Island. Shout out Rhodey people. Let me know how that works out for you.
Olivia Culpo is, but not the sister.
Right. But the sister's there for the wedding.
And to make out with rich dudes. Good for you. Good for her.
We support other women and also, I guess, Chanel. So you can listen to those episodes now. $2 a month gets you my love and thanks. $5 a month gets you 2 bonus episodes. $10 a month gets you 4. And the part 2 of that Satchel Spectacular is exclusive to the OG of the AG and People's Couch level. So make sure to level up if you want to listen to both parts. And of course, there is a premium tier where you can record a Patreon episode with yours truly or have a private Zoom Kiki. So listen to those episodes now at patreon.com/AndysGirls. The two-parter is, again, out now, 2 hours long. Lot of fun. I go absolutely wild. And speaking of wild, you can follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley, allegedly Threads. And BBDB, what a journey, what a crazy adventure called life that we were on this morning, again recording at 3:37 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
How are we doing it?
Do we get thanked for this sacrifice that we are making of sleeping for about 45 minutes? I mean,
no. You know what? There might be a nap in our future, though, I think.
Yeah, I did, in fact, reschedule a doctor's appointment to happen a little bit later today so that I can maybe add in an hour to the 4 that I got last night. I'm very excited about it. Listen, you know I die for you. Thank you so much for coming back on. A pleasure, a thrill. And I will be listening to that Karen Reed episode, so you better get that shit up quick.
I'm doing it right now.
Okay, phenomenal. Thanks to all of you at home and Bergdorf Goodman for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.